Today I'm starting a sub-series to a message that I began last week that we entitled Pursuing His Presence. When we're going to pursue His presence, church, we have to understand, first of all, who He is, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, understand who we are, and then work on developing our lives so that we can live a life that will honor and please the Lord. That's the heart of what we've been called to do. To do that, though, we need to detox our souls. And that's what I'm going to be talking about for several weeks. We need to detox from the world's influences. Why? Because I believe our souls belong to God. Amen. Today, as you leave, I have a book for each family. It is for free. Everybody say free.
Free.
That doesn't mean how much it costs. It means free. Okay? Some of you will, can I give you anything? Of course you can. But the book's free. I just felt it was so important. It's a book by Craig Groeschel. And I just want to speak about it for a moment. I'm going to be preaching, but my preaching will complement the book. On Wednesday nights, I'm really teaching more of the book, but my messages on Sunday will complement the book. You can take the book, you can read it through yourself as fast as you like, whatever you want to do. You might even want to use it as a family devotion and take each chapter a week and just work your way through it. I'm not saying I'll finish these messages at the end of May. You don't have to finish the book by the end of May. I'm not putting any stipulation on that. I'm offering, though, one per family. I believe it's crucial to what I'm talking about and where we're at in our world today. And I also just want to add a caution. If you choose to do it as a family, you need to understand, and I know we have young kids in here, and we from sixth grade up, they come in here, and sometimes it's hard for me to tailor a message for a sixth grader to a 100th grader. And it's just that challenge. But there are some things in the book that I do feel are challenging. It's not that he delves into depths of it, but one chapter talks about hidden sins. And he just goes through a list of hidden sins. And in that list, the words that are there, the kids may go, what does that mean? And if you're ready to reveal that, then good for you. But if you go through the book and do it as a devotion, you can tailor that in your home the way you need to. But church, I do not want to live ignorant of what our kids know today. You don't have to watch TV very long to learn a lot that you probably shouldn't know. I'm not even sure at 48 I should know stuff I know. I wish I didn't. I learned a term a week ago. I'm like, kids know it. Our junior hires know the word, and I'm like, I don't even know what it means. I'm telling you, we got to wake up to the toxins that are around us, church. So I'm offering the book free. It will be back there on the table. I can only put the guard there. If you say, well, I want to get one for a friend, I want to make sure everybody in our church family, all the families get one first, and then we'll see if I need to order more, because I do believe this will be very valuable. Soul detox, clean living in a contaminated world. Is that the way you feel it is? What I'll be preaching, like I said, on Sundays will be different than the content of the book, though I will pull parts of it out, but it's to complement the book. So we want to begin today by building a foundation on soul detox. But to start it, I think it would be good to help us understand what is the soul? What is the soul? Many times we can think that we're a body with a soul, but probably a better understanding would be that we are a soul with a body. There are many people who spend more time thinking about their body rather than their soul. And I would like to reverse that thinking today. If we can begin thinking more about our soul than our body, I believe the body will follow suit to what the soul goes after. You see, whenever you die, your body dies. Your body dies. But your soul will live somewhere forever. When God created Adam in the beginning, this is how it's described in Genesis 2, verse 7. Scripture says that Jehovah God formed man from the dust of the ground. God took the dust of this earth, the dirt, the clay, molded it into a body that would be the outer covering for Adam. This body was a coating for a living soul that God was about to put in place. In fact, the rest of the verse 7 says what happened, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did man become? I want you to read the last one with me. It says, and man became a living soul. Read it again. And man became a living soul. So you see, we're not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. Why does that matter? Because our soul will pull us back toward God, but our body will drag us down into the world. That's the struggle that we go through. In the book Soul Detox, Craig tells his story about growing up in mom and dad's house. And Craig tells of how he grew up in a smoking home. They smoked. But Craig says he didn't even realize it until he went away to college. And then he returned back home. He said, I walked in and the walls were not as white as I remembered. The air was hazy, full of smoke. Of course, he tells that when he went back to college, his roommate said he reeked of smoke. And they had to wash all his clothes and clean them up. Craig's thought is this today. Sometimes we don't even recognize the condition we live in. I grew up in a home where my dad smoked till I was 8 years old. That was 40 years ago. And because he quit, our home got free of that. And honestly, I have to tell you, it bothers me today. We've tried to teach people. I don't think smoking's going to send you to hell. I just think it will destroy the temple that he's put the soul in. And I think you need to take care of the temple. But I have to tell my kids, we'll walk out and people are smoking and they're like, ew! I'm like, kids, you know, because we're just not part of our culture. But I wonder, church, if there's other things that are just as dangerous. You know, we kind of grew up, secondhand smoke was not considered dangerous until all of a sudden we found out it was dangerous. And it's just like the world we live in. There's toxins out there. And I think somehow we've ignored their effect on us. We say, well, it's just secondhand. It really isn't affecting me. And church, I'm telling you, it is. And that's the premise I need to build on today. The problem is, I believe that many of us in our souls are breathing in secondhand poisons from our culture. Many are firsthand, but many are secondhand. And they are impacting your soul. And if we're not careful, they will kill our soul. In this series, we're going to uncover some different toxins that are affecting our soul. Today, I want to start with this title, The Restless Soul. In fact, how many know the story of Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis? Remember that story? They're the sons of Adam and Eve. They're brothers. Cain got jealous of Abel's sacrifice being accepted by God, and his wasn't. And so Cain kills his brother. That seemed to be the right thing to do. And God actually cursed Cain in Genesis 4, where it says in verse 11, now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. God basically saying, you killed your brother, and here's the punishment. He says, when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. And what will he be is what God says next. Here's what he says. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. That's what happens to many of us, a restless wanderer. There are many people who struggle with this issue. They have a restless soul. People tend to always be searching but never finding. We are interested in everything but satisfied by nothing. Inwardly, we're hyped up. We really never find rest for our souls if we're only looking to the world. We're anxious, we're tense, we're worried, we're concerned. Our minds don't know how to shut down. And even when you rest at night, internally, our soul doesn't rest. Today, there are many who live that way. Last night, I woke up about 3 a.m. myself, and I had to tell my soul after getting this message, soul, be quiet. My wife woke up, same issue, just that struggle. The mind just wants to run. In fact, I want you to hear Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes, and it paints a good picture of where most of us live. And I include myself in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 22. Listen to the question. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Anybody want to know? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. And everybody said, amen. Yep. Read the next line with me, the end of verse 23. It says, even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. Wow. Is that where we live? I toil, I work, and I grieve over everything, and I can't rest my mind, but it's meaningless, church. Let me pause for a moment, just ask you to be really, really honest with yourself. How many of you are often just wound up on the inside and it's difficult to calm yourself down? Sometimes your mind just keeps going. How many would say that's you? I'll be honest. I'm there. I struggle with it at times. But I know that God doesn't want us to live this way. And that's why you don't really know what impact, but I'm telling you, I am letting this impact me. I'm like, I am tired of it. I'm going to rest. Because that's what I've been called to. We can all acknowledge that our bodies need rest. Amen? Everybody, all the you say, you need your body needs rest. In fact, I tell you what, all the youth, wherever you are, you can go home this afternoon. You can take a nap. And all the parents said, yeah. Your body needs rest. But I want to submit to you more than that, your soul needs rest. So where do we find rest for our souls? Now what I'm about to tell you will sound like the Sunday school answer. It'll sound what the preacher ought to say from the pulpit. But I want you to know it's true. But there is just one place and one place only that we can find rest for our souls, and that is in God. You can write this down somewhere in the legend of your Bible. Our souls find rest in God alone. David puts it this way in Psalm 62:1, my soul finds rest. I like the beginning of that. My soul, that means it's available. My soul finds rest. Where does it find it? My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. My soul inwardly can only find rest in God. In other words, there is no person, no thing, no experience, no vacation, no dream home, no amount of money, nothing outside of God can bring rest to your soul other than God. God made our soul for Himself, and our soul is restless until we find rest in Him. In fact, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You're familiar with it. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. How many is that? How many have a mortgage on your home? It's a heavy burden. How many are just weary? The rest of you, praise God, most of the church is healthy. All right, think about this for a moment. Because of this restlessness It's not just in your body, it's in your soul. We're weary, we're stressed out, we're overwhelmed, we're worried, but not just physically, but spiritually in our souls. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and what? I will give you rest. What does he give us, church? Rest. Come to him. He'll give you rest. Now listen to the next verse, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find. Are you ready to know what you can find, church? Take my yoke, teach. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me. You're weary, you're heavy laden. Take my yoke. I'll teach you. And he'll have rest for your souls. It's in Jesus that we find our rest. This morning I want to look at three different scriptures, and I pray that these will impact your soul. I pray you are convicted to live by the scripture today. Amen. I don't want you to be convicted by the pressures of this world. I don't want you to believe the toxic lies that the world says. It's just a mess. It's busyness. The world says, go, go, go. Produce, produce, produce. Do more, 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 more. But church, we need to find rest for our souls. We need to seek God's presence. And if you do, I promise, you will be far more productive. Three thoughts today. First, number one, be still before God. Be still before God. You say it. Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist writes, read it together, everybody. Be still and know that I am God. Did you notice the psalmist didn't say, be busy and know that I'm God? I want you to be productive and know that I'm God. I want you to worry and know that I'm God. I want you to be anxious and know that I'm God. That's not what the scripture says. Scripture says, be still. Tells us to pause, to wait, and then know, not just in your head, but know in your soul that God is on the throne. Be still and know that I am God. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever been around a kid that just won't sit still? How many of you are that kid? Yeah. Having six kids in the home, for some 22 years, I've been around multiple kids who do not know the meaning of be still. And sometimes around the house, I'm just like, everyone, be still. Doesn't work, because rest comes from God. And sometimes you're going to have to realize you have to take control of your own soul and simply say to your soul, soul, be quiet. Quit running. Sit down and be still. I want you to hear what David says in Psalm 131, verse 2. David says this, surely I, not anybody else, but David says, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. A soul draws, or a child draws from its mom, its energy and life and all of that. But when it's weaned, it's with the mom, but it doesn't know any longer pull on the resources of the mom. Your soul has to be quieted and quit pulling on all the resources of everything. If you're restless in your soul, one of the most important disciplines you can do is daily sit before God and be quiet. And do it for the sole purpose of knowing him and nothing else. Be still and know that I am God. Just try it. Just do it. 5 minutes a day. What if you started right there? 5 minutes to be still and know that I'm God. I know what you're saying, though, but I don't have time to be still before God. You don't have time not to be still before God. There's a little poem that we have in our bathroom, and it's called The Difference, and I want to read it to you this morning. It says, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled all gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all the keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Many say, well, I don't have time to spend with God. You don't have time not to. Church, you need rest in your soul. Look to God. Be still before Him. A second thing we need to do is, number two, is just to wait for Him. Just wait for God. Scripture says in Psalm 37, 7, here's the echo, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. I want you to read that verse with me. Ready? Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Our culture teaches us to be impatient. Everything is hurry up, make fast money so you can eat fast food. And the church, this is the way we live. God, give me patience and give it to me now. How many have ever prayed that, right? You know. But we need to rest in the Lord. We need to wait on Him. Wait for God. Slow things down and be still. Did you know that God can take care of the rest of the world while you spend 5 minutes with Him? I think He can handle it. What if we got into His presence, got still, and waited for Him? Here's Psalm 130. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word, I do hope. Verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. The scripture is talking about a watchman on a wall. And how does a watchman watch for the morning? In the Old Testament, the watchman would stand on the wall of the city and they would try to look at night for approaching enemies. But they were waiting for the morning because in the morning their shift was over. And they wouldn't have to watch anymore. They knew that every day the watchman was watching for the morning. Because every day they knew the sun was going to come up. Because since the beginning of time, the sun comes up. And we're to wait for God with that same divine expectation. The sun always rises in the morning. God is always going to show up. Wait for Him to act. Did you hear that? The sun tomorrow morning is going to come up. And if it doesn't, we're probably not going to be here as the saints. The sun's going to come up. Just like the watchman, we need to watch. Yes, more than the watchman. My soul waits for the Lord. Why? He's going to show up. If we will wait for God with that same kind of expectation like they did, you will find Him. He'll show up. A third thing I want to encourage you this morning is this. It's not just to wait and be still, but take a moment and reflect on God's goodness. Here's the thing. So often we're being still and we're taking a moment, but many times in that moment we're tempted to think about everything we have to do. But God wants us to take a moment and think about what He's already done. You don't need to think about what you've got coming. Just begin to think about His goodness, everything He's done. Scripture says in Psalm 116, "Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me." I can take that rest again because I begin to reflect on what He's done. The Lord has been good to me. Reflect on His goodness. Reflect on His grace. Reflect on the prayers that He's answered. Reflect on how He's changed your life. Reflect on how He's changed others. And then listen to verse 8 in this same passage. "For you have delivered my soul from death." That's the thought process. "My eyes from tears and my feet from falling." Aren't you glad that God's delivered our soul? What He's done for you, that He's kept things from tears flowing out your eyes. He has kept you from falling. "You've delivered my soul from death." Hallelujah. "My eyes from tears." Praise God. "And my feet from falling." And listen to the last verse, verse 9. "And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth." Pursuing His presence as I live here. We need to remember what the Lord's done in the busy season of life, and this is a busy one coming. School's about to be out. Who knows how many graduation parties there's going to be? That gets busy. Summer's on the way. As a church, we're launching a new church plant in Garden City. I'm dreaming about what God wants to do in this place, what God wants to do through us. You've got your dreams. You've got your ambitions. And with all of that going on, especially in me, I have to still my soul. And then I have to wait for God. And then I have to purposely and intentionally not only quiet and stop my spirit, but begin to think about how good He's been. I have to wait on the Lord, reflect on what He's done. Personally, I begin to think about the names of God, His provision, His goodness. I have to quote Scripture to myself. Listen, whatever Scripture you know, just quote it to yourself. Let His Word live in you. You say, "All I know is John 3:16. What a great Scripture. Quote it again and again. "For God, for God, for God. For God so loved," oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. "For God so loved that He gave," oh, He surrendered. "He offered His only Son that I could believe, I could believe, I could believe today." Church, what if you begin to take those Scriptures and you begin to quote them into your lives and think about His goodness? We need to think about His faithfulness. And never forget that He delivered our souls from death. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you need to understand you are forgiven. Hallelujah. I heard it from the back. You're a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Church, that ought to bring rest to your soul. To know that He is not holding your sins against you. Oh, praise God. He has cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. And He will not ever bring them up against you again. That ought to calm your soul. If we would remember to reflect on who He is. Did you know our Lord is the Alpha and the Omega? He's the beginning. He's the end, He's the first, He's the last. He's the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is coming. Church, we need to know this and reflect on it. We follow Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, and he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the soon returning, conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And keep in mind, church, we serve a God who is so big that he is working in all things to bring about good for his people. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he says, you know what? You'll be blessed coming in and you'll be blessed going out. He's the one who declares, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and bless you. Not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. When you begin to meditate on him, you start getting worried about tomorrow, you need to realize he's got tomorrow in his hands. He was faithful yesterday. He'll be faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. And your soul can rest and reflect on that. I want you to know that God does not want to leave us restless. He has come to redeem our souls. And by the help and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, I now know that we can be productive and we can be fruitful, yet be calm in our soul. We can be healthy in our soul. We can be healed in our soul. We can be whole in our soul. And out of our soul, you'll begin to produce fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, and the self-control you need. Because church, we're no longer driven by the desires and needs of the body. Because my focus has changed. Today I realize I'm not a body with a soul. I'm a soul with a body. I don't know about you. How many of you are thinking already about lunch today? That's your body. I wonder, we come to church and you get up on Sunday morning. It's like, Lord, I'm coming here because you maybe are thinking about your soul. But do you think about your soul when you leave here? I got to feed my body. I got to give exercise to my body. I believe if we would take care of the soul, the body will follow in suit to what you're doing. I believe we start rethinking and say, I'm a soul. I'm a living soul. And I'm going to give it rest. I want you to hear me. We also have a spiritual enemy called Satan. I don't like to give him a lot of time, but church, I have to tell you, we have an enemy. And his biggest and probably best device out there is busyness. And you say, well, how can I put a guard about around myself? Well, I'm going to tell you, be still before the Lord. Be still. Just wait for him. Reflect on God's goodness. Here's what I want us to do for the next few minutes. And I'm going to try to shorten this because I want it to happen. I want to give you a moment to be still. We're going to practice. Practice makes perfect. And you'll never be perfect if you don't practice. I know in our culture there are secondhand toxins. And one of them is busyness. And if we don't take time to rest in the Lord because we got so much more to do today, then you have really missed the whole point today. If everything else cannot take second place to God, then you're more concerned about your body than your soul. Here's what I want you to do. I just need you to calm your spirit and get ready to talk to God and listen to God. I want you to take a moment, but here at church, you can't think about what's about to happen. You can't think about what you're going to do this afternoon. You need to get your mind on him. If you say, I don't know how to do that, I want you to just begin to think about stories in the Bible, how God used David to kill Goliath. You can think about how he delivered Jonah. You can think about how he created Adam and Eve. You can think about how he took care of Paul and Silas and how he delivered Peter from the prison. You need to think about the goodness of God. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this is not easy. I did it in first service, and I'll tell you where my mind eventually, or almost immediately went. I'm like, okay, Lord, I love you so much, and we got second service coming. And, okay, God, wait a minute, quiet my soul. God, it's you. You're going to have to tell your soul, be quiet. Be quiet. Here's what I'm going to do. You have your phone on you? You have your iPhone on you? Can you pull up the timer? 2 minutes. And you're going to go, 2 minutes, that's all? I could do it for 2 minutes. Let's see. You ready? All right, here we go. On your marks. Church, I'm serious about this, though. I'm kind of, you know, and she's coming here. If you need to find a place at the altar, because you might need to break away from who you're sitting next to, not because they're bad, but sometimes people are distracting. Husbands and wives, I know this may be a gentle time, but this is not time to hold hands. This time about you and your soul. On your marks, be still. Can you put those up real quick? Can you back up to the three? I need to put them there, so if you need to look up, and remind yourself, be still before God, just wait for him, and reflect on his goodness. Go. I struggled. I started off, and I'm like, oh, Lord, where's that phone? Am I going to remember what's going to happen? Is it going to go off? I don't know what's going to happen. Just stuff. And I was like, be quiet. Be quiet. Church, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, that's really the first part of resting your soul. He says, come to me. He says, take his yoke. The beauty of his yoke is he's the stronger of the two of us. And when they yoked two oxen together, there's always a lead oxen. There's always one that's stronger, and he leads the way. And Jesus tells us to take my yoke. He'll be the strong one. And you'll find rest for your soul. You don't have to pull so hard. I'm really curious that we said, well, we took time here. Are you going to take time this week? Here's the challenge. Do it every day. How much do you really care about your soul? It's amazing. You'll feed your body 3 times a day, 4 times a day. 5 times a day. Tonight, we got pillow tops, we got sleep number beds, we got all this stuff for the body so it can rest. I have a special pillow that I take everywhere with me. My kids think I'm a nut, but I love my pillow. My pillow helps me rest, helps this body. But do I care that much about my soul? Are you going to invest in your soul? See, if we're going to detox this thing, we got to start caring about it. Earlier, there's a word that came, and they just came to me and just shared it with me. It didn't come out publicly, but the word that initially came was jumping. And it was talking about jumping from one thing to the next, just boom, 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 boom. You need to complete the task that the Lord has put before you. Quit jumping around. Church, I want to help us grow. But I'm telling you, this foundation right here, I'm a soul with a body. The emphasis is on the soul. You need to care about it. God cares about it so much that he sent his only son to die for you so he could redeem it. Because it will spend eternity in one place or another. I want to be still and know God. Because that's where my rest really comes from. Amen? We're just going to worship a little bit. I'm going to close with a prayer. You're dismissed when you want to, because I love church and I love altar, and you're welcome to come. In fact, I think it's a great place because I think something happens when you move. You know, sometimes you sit there, you're still around the same surroundings. Sometimes breaking it. You know, it talks about getting the prayer closet at home. I would think that's a little weird around my house. We have a pantry, I guess I could walk in. Wouldn't that be interesting? Get in a closed door, tight place, cut off the light, you can't see anything else. Can't go anywhere. So I guess it's just me and you, God. That's why that's important, church. How much do you care about your soul? I'm gonna pull back the covers on some of the things in this world that I think we're gonna have to deal with. But we need to understand who we are. Who we are. And then who we are in God. Amen? Lord, if there be anyone here this morning, I know there were two in first service who surrendered their hearts to you. And once again, Lord, if there be anybody in this service who needs to accept you as Savior, find rest for their souls, I pray that they'll be able to do that. If that's you today, you just need to find rest for your soul. You need to ask him to forgive you, wash you clean. Would you just lift your hand right now, just all over the place? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see that. Amen. Amen. Would you just pray with me? Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
give me rest.
Give me rest.
For my soul.
For my soul.
I put my faith in you.
Put my faith in you.
Your word says,
be still.
Be still. And know that I'm God. Today by faith,
I ask you
to forgive me.
To forgive me.
Make me clean.
Make me clean.
And give me rest today.
Give me rest today.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I celebrate with you today. Praise God. You find rest. Find rest. And Lord, for the remaining, all of us today, Lord, I pray we would get concerned about our soul. Lord, that when we leave this place, though we may feed the body, I pray we'll be concerned about feeding our soul to the rest of the day and tomorrow. Lord, may we live as your Spirit leads us. Lord, help us to just patiently wait for you. You're going to show up. You're going to be there. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and praise you for your goodness. Amen. You're dismissed as the Holy Spirit dismisses you today.